Hello, welcome to the Friday, October 3rd, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We got our first scary false positive today, and it's about an outbound connection. We talked a lot during Shell Shock about how you have to watch for devices that all of a sudden beacon outbound from your network. In this case, our submitter did notice that his disk array, his network storage device, all of a sudden connected outbound via SSH. Of course, this set off all kinds of alarm bells. Actually, I think in his case, the alert came because the firewall stopped the connection. Well, it turned out the disk array was not compromised in the end. It was just a feature of the disk array that causes it to connect back to the vendor in order to report its status. This feature is commonly used to, for example, detect if disks are failing, and then the vendor is able to ship disks ahead of time. Also, interestingly, a couple of our handlers chimed in saying that they saw similar things with disk arrays that they were using in their environment. Swa, I think, mentioned that he negotiated with a vendor to not allow these connections outbound, but then they had to take the responsibility to notice if there is a bad disk and to replace them accordingly. So if you have any similar events that you would like to share, let us know. What we really like is things like screenshots or log entries that we can share that sort of indicate some false positive that sort of had you step into instant handling mode, and then in the end, it turned out to be really nothing. That's important to share too, because you can save others a lot of time by allowing them to learn about these events before they're experiencing them themselves. And then you may have heard about some new Mac malware that's making the rounds. In this case, one of the sort of interesting and special things is that as a command and control channel, it is a little bit different than other malware. It uses Reddit.com. Reddit.com is a news website, and of course, it is quite frequently visited by a lot of users. So it's one of those things where, for example, DNS logs and such, you may not notice that someone is going to Reddit because, well, people go there all the time. In this case, a certain post on Reddit was then used to communicate with the bots. Quite a tricky undertaking, and I have been talking over the last couple of years, for example, about using Wikipedia in a similar way. But whenever you have a large website that's very popular that users can edit, it would of course be possible for someone to leave a note there that a bot could pick up. I guess Twitter is probably the closest to that we have seen before. Now, whenever it comes to Mac malware, one of the questions that comes up is how do people get infected with it? And typically, we don't really sort of have the drive-by download exploits that we see in the Windows world as much, but what typically happens is users willingly install this malware. And just to demonstrate how this happens, I looked at a piece of adware. So this is really sort of right at a boundary. What they're doing is, I guess, technically legal, but certainly a little bit odd. If you search for Internet Explorer for OS 10, now this is of course a product that doesn't really exist, but if you search for it on Google, there are links that come back that claim to offer Internet Explorer for OS 10, and one of these links I investigated closer. What happened in this case is, well, a bunch of adware, crapware, whatever you want to call it, essentially sort of this semi-legal functional software is being installed. It does actually install an ancient version of Internet Explorer, Internet Explorer 5, which used to be available for Mac OS, but doesn't really work on any recent version of OS 10. So the result is you end up with a lot of adware and no functional copy of Internet Explorer. And various Google searches like this are starting to track OS X or Apple users more than they used to in the past. So as a result, expect your users to fall for some of those links and then install malicious software with what they considered was actual valid software. This example that I'm talking about here was actually validly signed using an Apple developer certificate. So in this case, the safeguard that Apple put in here with Gatekeeper didn't fully apply in its default install. In its default setting, you were still able to install this particular piece of software. And you may remember that at this year's Black Hat conference, there was one big news item about malicious USB firmware. Well, it turns out that this particular firmware is now freely available for download. So this ups the threat a little bit when it comes to USB drives. Certainly be careful what you're plugging into your USB port. It could contain this malicious firmware now. And a couple weeks ago, we had a pretty severe same origin policy violation bug in Android's web browser. Turns out this particular bug was not alone. There's a second one out now. They do affect Android before version 4.4, so 4.4 should be okay, but version before that are susceptible to this same origin bypass. This is a big deal because same origin policy is an important safeguard when it comes to JavaScript on one side affecting another side. So cross-site request forging triggered by JavaScript is usually limited due to same origin policy, but without same origin policy, using this bypass, it is possible to essentially trigger cross-site request forging freely, even if some of the standard countermeasures like cross-site request forging tokens are in place. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.